How many's glad they're saved?
Amen.
Everybody that is saved, amen, is glad they're saved sometime or another, surely. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad that the Lord can give you joy. And I tell you what, it's something the world is longing for. Peace, that's something you can't buy. And you can't purchase with money, but thank God, I'm glad the Lord gives it freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing tonight? I'm glad that I'm saved by the grace of God, and it's a wonderful, wonderful joy to be here. I appreciate everything about the camp. I appreciate everything about the camp except playing Brother Jason in cornhole. It gets me in a raw attitude. I'm telling you, it does playing him cornhole. I tell you what, if I do make some holes, amen, he covers them. And it just don't seem fair, amen. But I tell you, it's just enjoyable to be around you folks. Y'all my kind of folks. I mean it. I thank God for God's people. Because I just, you know, really, when you try to live for God, I'm not talking about excluding ourselves from sinners, but I don't have much in common with sinners other than there was a past life. And I'm not interested in hanging around the horseshoe pit where they're drinking beer and telling filthy jokes and stuff like that. Amen. I left that old crowd when I got saved by the grace of God. It vexes my soul, some of you in the ministry at some time or another can relate to this, and working in the ministry and working a public job, amen, it vexes my soul to go down there with that crowd, amen, and them take my Lord's name in vain. I told them one day, amen, I said, you know, I've listened to y'all cuss my Lord and take God's name in vain, amen. I'm going to pull out a can of preach all and pour it all over y'all, amen. They need it. But a lot of times, Brother John, you know, the best witnesses I get is when you get them alone. Me and Ronnie, or me and Wendell alone, sometimes me and Jeff in the warehouse office there, and I'm able to witness to them. You get them together, and they feel a camaraderie. They feel like they've got a power, amen, where they can kind of gang up on you. I guess they think they can kind of gang up on the Lord and upon your Christ. But you get them alone, amen, it seems like it's a little bit more reality. And you certainly pray that God would help me, amen, to see these men come to Jesus Christ, amen. I've been witnessing, you know, and I witnessed, just like many of you, I witnessed some rough people. Got tattoos, they say some of them, amen, say they smoke pot about every day. They say they do it because they have seizures, amen. I think that stuff would give you seizures.
Right.
Amen. But, you know, they just need the Lord. That's what they need. They don't have no hope in this life. They need the Lord. They need to be saved. And so we certainly have got a great, great task ahead of us in the matter of witnessing for the Lord. And may the Lord help us to see some souls come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems like Brother Tim and I have both been taken, but this is a Bible camp, and so any Bible message that the Lord would lay upon us preachers' hearts, it seemed like it'd be in order. And I understand, amen, we're not up here having a puppet show for the little kids, but really, for the most part, I appreciate the children have been pretty much well behaved. I know David don't always behave like he should. Where in the world is he tonight, amen? Okay. Now you take care of him, amen, or I will, while I'm preaching. Don't let him be a rowdy. I asked one time some of my kids, amen, I said, don't y'all like preaching? They said, no. Amen. And so you pray my kids need the Lord just like any preacher's kids need the Lord. Hebrews chapter number 12 tonight, we're going to examine a thought from the Scriptures. It's a Bible thought. And there are many evidences. I don't have time, certainly, to give and deal with all of them tonight, amen, about being saved. But let me give you three of them. And one of them, Lord willing, we're going to try to deal with the best the Lord will help us, amen. Certainly, a changed life is an evidence that somebody is born again of the Spirit of God. If there is no change in your life, there is no change and there's no salvation.
Amen.
That's just blatant. Amen. If you can go the same places you always went to, do the same things you always did, say the same things you always said, amen, it's pretty good indicator, amen. You need to examine yourself very carefully whether you be in the faith. Amen. Everybody that's saved is changed. You say you got scripture for that? Very familiar scripture. We had it as a verse, amen, theme 1 year. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what's new about you? Amen. If you claim to be saved by the grace of God, there ought to be a new direction. There ought to be a new devotion. There ought to be a new dedication. There ought to be a new diet. There ought to be things that are new about you. Amen. And so thank God for that. When you get saved by the grace of God, there'll not only be a changed life, but there will be consistent conviction of sin.
Amen.
One preacher said this, once convicted, always convicted.
Amen.
Amen. And that's not talking about getting saved again and again and again, not in that aspect of soul salvation. But when you get saved by the grace of God, you will be convicted about your sin. In fact, that's what God dealt with when He saved you. And the Bible says this, when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So He will deal with you about your sin. And listen, if you can go on in sin and live in sin, amen, the Bible says he that sinneth is of the devil.
Amen.
Now you don't hear that preached much anymore because somebody think we're a bunch of sinless perfection people, amen. But if you have no conviction of sin in your life since you made your profession, that's the reason we have young people, amen, that make professions whatever age. Some of them make professions at young age and then go out and live as a drunkard, a liar, a cheat, a whoremonger, an adulterer as a lifestyle and no conviction about it.
Come on.
Yeah. I wouldn't put faith, I wouldn't rest my eternal destiny on something that I had no conviction of sin.
Yeah.
And I don't have time to deal with all this. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit. But listen, we're going to deal with the matter of chastisement tonight. Everybody that's saved by the grace of God is chastened by God. Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. And we'll look in the scriptures about what the Bible has to say about biblical chastening. Now, when I'm talking about chastening tonight, I'm glad the Lord does all things right.
Yes. Amen.
When you preach in congregations today, dear brother, Brother Jason, I believe it is, you deal with all kinds of people from all kinds of different backgrounds. We're not talking about abuse. We're not talking about, amen, just beating somebody up, amen, and taking a rod and just beating them black and blue. We're not talking about that, amen. We're not talking about locking them in a closet somewhere. We're not talking about discipline like that. But God always deals with people right. And I'm going to tell you what, we've got away from discipline. Can I say this? And I'm not saying my kids are not sometimes brats, amen. But we've raised a generation of brats that have no discipline.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
They are B-R-A-T brats.
Mm-hmm.
S.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
They are brats. And you know, over the ministry that the Lord has given us, and we tried to glorify the Lord in it, you know, people used to kind of make light because we discipline our children. I discipline them, and I try to do that with, because I mean, somebody turn you in right in a church because they don't discipline their kids and they don't think you should. But they make fun of me. They'd say, what's that ruler in your pocket for? Amen. We had bigger things than that. Amen. Amen. I had somebody that was called Mr. Discipline. Amen. And it was laid on the right place, the hinder parts. I'm being delicate here. God put a meaty part on your body that meant to be disciplined. Yeah. Amen? And God does it right. Yes. But God does discipline His children. And if you don't know anything about the chastisement of God, then you don't know the Lord.
Amen.
Because He'll discipline you when you get right with God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, you can go ahead and remain seated. I know that you honor and reverence the King James Bible, but we'll just try to read here, make some comments as we go along, the Lord being our helper. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," the Bible says, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him which endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Now, why in the world would that be in the context of this ideal text on chastening? In the matter of the crucifixion, God was literally chastening His Son. I don't have time to deal with that. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Do you know anything about the chastening of God? If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is it whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. It's a Bible word, amen. You're making an illegitimate claim on the grace of God. We've got a lot, I'm not trying to be irreverent, amen. We've got a lot of Baptists that are bastardized.
That's right.
Eternal life.
Yes.
And they say that they're saved by the grace of God, and that yet they live in sin with no correction from God.
Right.
They're on our church rolls. They're in our pulpits.
Yep. Come on.
They're on our church staffs. No chastening, no discipline, no correction by God whatsoever. When I went to Bible school, I just got born again in the Spirit of God not many months previously. And I told my wife, she and I have similar testimonies. When I went to Bible school, I really wondered, Brother Tim, as I was in the dorm and in classes with those young men and some of those young ladies. There wasn't a lot of young ladies at the school I went to. And I wondered how many of them truly had a born-again experience of grace. And now many of them are out in the ministry. Of course, some of them, unfortunately, have messed up. My heart is grieved by that. I'm going to tell you, I wonder how many in Bible schools are truly born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in verse number 9, "Furthermore,
We had have had our fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. I'm not trying to be a bully. I'm going to tell you what. My dad, that's 78 years old, and his mind is waned. Many times he doesn't even know who I am, except he thinks I'm his older brother. But I tell you what, I gave my dad respect and reverence.
Amen.
And I've demanded that of my children.
Amen.
Sure.
When my children have addressed me, amen, and sometimes, just like children, I've got all kinds of teenagers, and they talk about going through the teenage years and the different attitudes that come up and crop up. But I remind them, my name is Sir. I'm surprised sometimes when somebody asks about my dad's name if they don't say, his name's Sir. Because I say, my name's Yes, Sir.
Yeah.
But when you have a father that corrects them and demands that obedience, and you know he loves you, and you might have never known a father that loved you, but if you know anything about the grace of God, you've got a heavenly Father that loves you and disciplines you in love.
Amen.
And you'll give him reverence.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says here, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. How shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure. I don't know how to really expound on that, because many times we hear parents today say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. He said he did it for their pleasure. But I have never one time, Samuel, stand up, had my oldest son said before I corrected him and be his rear end. And there have been times I've busted his tail. Bunch of times. Is that not true? And there's not been one time that you ever expressed pleasure to me and said, Dad, before I get this with you, I want to express what a joy this is to get corrected and have the oaken board applied to my hind end. Not one time. That's not a pleasurable thing. But thank God for a dad. Thank God for a father that corrects us in a right manner.
Yes.
That's what he does for his children.
Amen.
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 Do you know anything about the chastisement of God? The Bible says, he said, the he for our profit, verse number 10, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. I don't know about you. I want to be partaker of his holiness. I don't want a manufactured holiness, amen. I don't want just, if you can understand this, just a list of rules. I want God to make me a holy person that this world can see. There's a difference. And he'll do that by correction. Amen. The Bible says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It's what I just described to you with Samuel. But grievous. I remember Rebecca, she's not in here right now, amen, so I guess I can aggravate her a little bit. I asked my wife, now you don't have kids like I had kids, amen. I know some of you, amen, you've never had a problem. And I started wondering, amen, I said, what's wrong? Brother John, it bothered me when I started having kids and stuff like that, and the evidence, the flesh. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong with the kids I had? I mean, because people tell me,
I never had to correct Gracie. I never one time. I just spoke to Johnny and he just obeyed from then on. And I never disciplined him. And I never whipped my little boy, amen. And I said, what in the world is wrong with my kid? And when I started dealing with Grace, with Rebecca before the Lord, I thought she had a devil in her. And when you correct her again, it looked like it come out. You just don't know. Some of you will probably report me, man. I'm not trying. My kids love me. My kids love me.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, I got really concerned about Rebecca, amen. And really, there probably was some force, a demonic force there. I didn't know what in the world was going on. I'm telling you, friend, you cross that old Adamic nature and you'll see what it would branch up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Done right, preacher. Amen.
Problem is, you never cross your kids. You let them do whatever they want to do, watch whatever they want to watch. You give them that device in their hands. You give these 13-year-olds, these 12-year-olds, even younger, and some of your 16-year-olds don't even need them. And put that in their hands with unlimited pornography and filth on it.
Come on.
And the Bible says it doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous, not one time. I'll tell you what, I don't remember many whippings that my dad gave me, amen, but I do remember a little mom that was, 5'1"? 5'1". Some of you met my mom, and buddy, I tell you what, she would lay it on me, amen. I mean, there was times she would say, spread eagle, amen. Lay across the bed, amen, hallelujah, everything. I'm not trying to be indecent, everything tight. You say, I wouldn't do that to my kids. Well, thank God, amen, somehow, according to the scriptures, it saved my soul from hell, so leave me alone.
Amen.
And my mom would discipline me. She didn't allow me, amen. Listen, she didn't allow me to bring in that rock music. I did it in secret, but I didn't do it in her face. She said, this is God's home and you're not bringing the devil in here.
Right.
Amen.
My dad told me one time and disciplined me. He said, I want to tell you something. I bucked up against my mom. It's lost, you understand? And I bucked up against my mom. I'm not talking about something I'm having to make up. This is what really happened, unfortunately. I'm sad to say it. And my dad said, you can either live by the rules in this house and you're not going to treat your mother that way, or you can get out. And I thought about it, amen. At that time, let's see, free food, free room and board, amen. I think I'll conform, amen, at the time and stay here.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I'm talking about discipline.
Yeah.
You say, well, I love my children too much to discipline, amen. No, you don't love your children.
Come on.
You don't love them.
That's right.
No, you don't love them. That's not the kind of children that's going to rise up and call you blessed.
Right.
Exactly right. Amen.
That's not the kind of children that's going to honor your memory. You're sending them straight to hell. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God don't believe your philosophy. You say, when did you quit getting disciplined? This is going to bother some of you, amen. I don't remember the age I quit getting whipped. Because it really wasn't a red letter day. I can't remember the day I quit getting ripped. It wasn't 18, amen. I was still getting thrashed. Amen. Oh, you get to this magic age, amen, you don't correct them anymore. And they sit around and listen to Def Leppard and Megadeth and AC/DC and whoever the common group is now, amen. And listen, you know, right in your home, and they won't go to church and they buck up against authority and everything else, amen. And you won't correct them.
Come on.
That ain't what God feels about it. Not with His children. The Bible says, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I'm going to tell you, when there's evidence of discipline from the Lord, amen, it'll strengthen people.
Sure, man.
And make straight paths for your feet. I'm going to tell you one thing. There's one way to straighten a person up, and that's by good old-fashioned corporal punishment.
Yes,
now, we're not talking about beating people in the head. We're not talking about, amen, cutting up somebody's back. But listen, listen, my parents, you can say what you want to, but I'm telling you, I honor the memory of my parents and the discipline they gave me, amen. You said, well, it should be this, and it should be a rod. I understand all that from the book of Psalms and all that, amen. But sometimes they grabbed whatever was at hand. A belt, amen, whatever was at hand, amen, to discipline. You said, well, that must have been an anger. You wasn't there. How would you know? Amen? Sometimes they tell me, go cut a switch. And the switch looked more like, sometimes to me, a limb. Amen? Amen? And listen, if I come in and brought a little flimsy thing off a willow tree, amen, they said, that ain't going to work. Thank God for some parents that will, in love, discipline their children.
Amen.
Thank God for it.
Yes,
praise God. I want to stop right here and say, thank God for mean mommies. How about that, Sister Asquiths? Thank God for mean mommies. The kids probably think they're mean, amen. But they just love the Lord and they love their children, amen. And they're not going to let them get by with nothing, amen.
Amen.
Thank God for mean mommies.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
My little wife, amen, listen, she's been a blessing. Would you girls agree with that? Could I have a Baptist piston head nod there? Okay, come on now, Bethany. I know you're backward and awkward and everything else. Amen. A Baptist piston head nod. Amen. Thank God for a little mommy that loves the Lord. Amen. And has loved y'all and disciplined y'all. Amen. I've said this before. I have reaped everything and more of what I've sowed from having David. He looks like me. He acts like me. And my wife said you shouldn't have gave him his middle name is Richard. His first name should have been Richard. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. Listen, I've reaped everything and more of what I sowed from my youngest son. And all my kids are a blessing. But I ain't had one child that I've had yet that didn't need discipline. Not one. There ain't been one that I ain't had the discipline. Amen. I'm not trying to have a home conference, amen, but I'm going to tell you what, if you want to save their soul from hell according to the scriptures, amen, you better get busy disciplining your children in a proper manner. Find out what the Bible says. Get you a dictionary and find you a reference Bible, amen, and start looking what this Bible has to say about correcting your children. I wouldn't take anybody else's book about it. Dr. Spock, all these psychologists, amen, they're full of hooey. But I take this King James Bible and find out what the Bible has to say about discipline. I know some of you are in kind of situations that are kind of delicate, amen, and you need to be careful. But I think about the old timers, amen. Listen, there was one time old mountain man, amen, he had problems with his son. He thrashed his son and he went off to school and told the authorities at the school. And so they come up to visit him, amen, and they said, "We heard that you corrected your son. You whipped your boy, amen." He said, "I see two more that I'm going to whip if you don't get off my property." That's how it used to be, amen.
You're right.
Years ago, amen, if you used to have a drunk like some of these brats, I've seen some brats in Walmart literally assault their mommies. Used to be, amen. Listen, you get out of bed and you correct them right in Walmart and you'd have a few grannies around and say, "Give him some more, give him some more."
Get arrested now.
Yes,
amen. Go ahead and disobey the Bible in this matter, and you'll see how it turns out.
Right.
Thank God. The people that are helping in the nursery. My wife's helping in the nursery. Stuff like that. I think my daughter's helping in the nursery. And I'm not saying my kids are the best behaved. I'm not setting them on a pedestal. But look up here right now. To God be the glory. We've raised our kids without puppets. Children's churches. Because I thought it was right for them to sit under the preaching.
That's right. Amen.
And I don't think that's a doctrinal issue. I told Pastor Fletcher, if you don't mind, I keep my kids in the church. I keep my kids in the sanctuary. We'll make sure they're doing right. If not, we'll take them to the van. At one time, amen, I found out they'd locked all the rooms in the church. I don't know if that was for us, amen, or what, amen. But I still got a van. It's my property. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll have our kids sit in the house of God and hear some preaching. That's just me. Amen. I believe it'll work.
Amen.
Now what about this matter? What about this matter of chastening? And God's chastening hand. God's a holy God. He's a God of love. But yes, He's a holy God. And every attribute that He has is dictated by His holiness. But today we hear very little about God correcting anybody. Seems like He's somebody upstairs that can't do anything about what's going on down here. And He just lets anything go on. And He never corrects it. But that's not the God of the Bible. God is a God that does correct His children. Now who is the recipient of chastening? Very simple, amen. Very simple message tonight. The Bible says in verse number 6 that we read in your hearing tonight, He says, "And scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Verse number 7, "For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Verse number 8, He says, "Then, if you do not have chastening in your life by God, then are you bastards and not sons." That's just what the Holy Writ says.
Right. Amen.
That ain't me using derogatory language, abusive language. You are making an illegitimate claim on the grace of God if you have no chastening in your life. You don't know God. God corrects His children. He only chastens His sons. Now, Brother Harvey said, you know, people in authority, he said in the past, maybe not this week, but David, listen to me. David, I'm not up there on the ceiling, amen. I'm over here. Hey, David. Amen. But listen, friend, Brother Harvey said in the past, You know, if you see one of these kids going wrong, you need to steer them in the right way. Maybe they're out in the dark somewhere, or maybe some kids are out in the dark, and he's told us to stay in the lighted areas. You need to get up in the gym. You need to get up in the fellowship hall, amen. But truthfully, amen, I don't have a right, amen, to yank up Adam and correct him and start disciplining him. You know what? He's my son. I've got 7 children. They need my direction and correction.
Yes, amen.
And God doesn't discipline people that are not His.
Right.
Amen.
You say, why don't I have what the Scripture says of chastening and correction in my life? Because you're not His.
Right. Amen.
He only disciplines His sons. That's all He disciplines. His children.
Right.
So there's a family relationship. You've got to have a family relationship. In other words, you've got to be born of God. And the Bible says, but to as many as received Him, the damn gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
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 You've got to be born of God. And by the way, it is a divine birth. It's a spiritual birth. It gives you the divine nature of God, according to Peter, amen. And I'm going to tell you what, that's why it produces different actions. Because thank God, God will give you a different spirit, a different heart, a different attitude. Your attitude toward God and His authority has changed.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Yep.
And that's the problem, ain't it? That really is the crux of the matter. We have problem with authority.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the problem.
You're right.
But when God saves you by the grace of God, I believe if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And I didn't know everything about the Lordship of Jesus Christ when I got right with God, but I wasn't fighting it. You know why? I bowed, I submitted, I surrendered unequivocally to His authority. And the problem people have today is with God's authority. Who's in charge? You know why you have problems with your parents? You got problems with God's authority. You know why you have problems with civil authority? Because you got problems with God's authority. You know why you have problems with pastoral authority? Because you got problems with God's demands on your life and God's commandments and God's authority. That's what the problem is.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Who's in charge? Do you know anything about the chastening of God? God only chastens His sons. He only chastens His children. So you need to be born of God. He told Nicodemus, say, man, except a man be born of the Spirit of God, he'll not see or enter into the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have to be born of God. Born of the Spirit of God. A new birth, new life. I'm not an authority on anything, amen, necessarily. But I do know some things. I was not in a waiting room with my wife. Now, we're not weird, amen. 50, 60 years ago, a lot of people was born at home, okay? That's how we felt we ought to do it, amen. And so we bring a midwife in. After 3 or 4, I told my wife, I said, I think that I can do this, amen. She said, oh no, call Miss Angie. Amen. So our children were born with the aid of the midwife. All of them. Amen. That's why they are the way they are. Amen.
Sure.
Hallelujah. And they're all born at home. Amen.
So I was not in a waiting room somewhere. I was not, Brother Joe, wringing my hands, amen. I wasn't having birth pains or all that stuff they talk about. The man has birth pains and gets sick and all that stuff. I was right there helping my wife, amen. Hallelujah. In fact, I think it was with Bethany. My wife was laboring in travail with Bethany or Grace, amen. And I was trying to talk about, to the midwife, that we might have some more kids, amen. And my wife said, what in the world is he talking? I'm trying to have this one, amen. And so I was right there trying to help my precious wife. She got so worked up one time, she's in labor, amen. She about literally bit my arm. Amen. She was going to bite my arm, amen. So I know something about a physical birth, even though I've not experienced that myself. And the travail, you know what? You know where the travail comes from? Conviction.
That's
travail comes from that operation of the Holy Ghost, Brother Timothy. Of Holy Ghost conviction, amen. That travail, buddy.
Amen.
That anguish of soul, that heaviness of mind that God will put on a sinner, amen. I'm going to tell you, you say, how do you know you're born of God? Because I've been through that valley, amen. As it were, the shadow of death, amen. But God brought me through the other side. God gave me grace. And I don't fear no evil, for thou art with me, amen.
Amen.
I've been through that valley. The anguish of soul and the travail that comes upon a sinner, old time conviction of the Holy Ghost. That's what's missing.
Yes.
And many of our Baptist church members,
they
have no evidence of a changed life. They have no conviction of sin. When they do wrong, you can slip around, listen to that rock music on your iPod and your iPhone, and download the apps, and God never deals with you. Where's the chasing? Have you had a born again experience? Now, I learned long ago I wasn't the Holy Ghost, and I don't try to be the Holy Ghost. So if we're not careful, we can make statements sometimes that are not necessarily scriptural, and we can put people in a quandary.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But this is not unscriptural. You don't know anything of chastening.
That's right.
You don't know anything of the new birth.
That's right.
But God will deal with you. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Adam, I don't know. I believe you've got a good dad. I believe your dad's still good. And I'm going to tell you, we're a cherish. We're a cherish time. We pay it is.
Church.
Amen. I went in my pastor's office. I was trying to unload that situation with my dad. People get probably tardy, but it's on my mind. It's grinding on me.
So,
pastor said, do what I have to do, brothers. Cherish the good times.
Yeah.
Cherish the good memories you have.
Sure.
Yeah.
All that ain't necessarily him. Cherish the good times.
Yes,
sir. So I don't know, Brother Flory, there may be times you had regret. And maybe you did stuff like me in anger and stuff like that. I disciplined Brother Adam. I tell you what, that was your son. And I'm going to tell you one thing, Brother Adam. Whether or not our parents, we misunderstand them, or maybe they do some things we don't understand, I'm going to tell you, Brother Adam, if you're saved, and I believe, as far as I know, you know the Lord, as far as I know. And I'm going to tell you, our Heavenly Father, He will never discipline you in any way that is contrary to that
belief.
Never. He loves you too much. He loves you too much to go against His Word and never do it. He loves you, amen. anything about the love of a father, I want to tell you, your heavenly father, if you get right with him, tonight your heavenly father will be everything and much, much more to you.
Sure,
when my father and my mother have forsaken me, the Lord will take me unto you. May we have such a generation, even as a preacher, I don't even know how to deal with it. Because some of it I can't even relate to. I can't even relate to how people are raised. Let's see how they're dealt with. But I can relate to them, Sister Black, that there is a Heavenly Father that cares for them. If they're saved by the grace of God, you'll never chase them wrongly. He's never done it wrong. He's never done it wrong. He has never done it wrong.
Yeah.
You know anything about the chastening of the Lord? The chastening of the Lord. Amen. The recipient of His chastening. The recipient of His chastening. Hallelujah. Characteristics of being a son is that individual that's changed by the grace of God. And I don't care if you were six, I don't care whatever it is, whatever your profession is, if you got saved by the grace of God, you were changed.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm careful with my kids. Some people, they might brand you as anything. I don't know about this with my kids. I just don't. I don't want somebody, amen, that I have no confidence in, amen, if they're not spiritual, amen, go and leave my kids in the profession. I would not interested. That might take me a lifetime to work that out. And I am not interested. I've tried to guard my kids, amen.
Come on.
Well, Brother Bradley said, amen, don't think they do this, and don't think they do that, and don't think they get saved till then, amen. You leave me alone, amen. God gave me those precious children, amen, and I believe I ought to guard them.
Right.
I'm going to say this. Some of you profess to be saved. You profess to be saved. I'm going to say this. I ain't trying to confuse you. I still pray for you.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
I still pray for you.
That's right.
I still every day
pray.
Read your name before the throne of Christ. And I say, Lord, if they've never had an experience of grace, I pray that Lord, you save them by the good grace of God.
Amen.
I want him to have a real deal. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What he did for me, he'll do for you.
Right.
He changed my life. I remember, amen, when God the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, dear Sister Strange, and he got a hold of me up at Crown Point, Indiana, and dealt with my heart and broke up the fallow ground and broke up my rebellion. I remembered, amen, I called my mom after I got right with God, and I said, Mama, the first person I thought I'd call, I wanted to call my mama.
Yeah.
You can say what you want to, amen. You can make fun of me if you want to. My wife knew it, amen. I was a mama's boy. I wasn't sissy. I didn't have lace on my drawers. In fact, I whipped you real good, amen. I wasn't sissy. But I was a mama's boy. I loved my mama.
Amen.
I was close to my mama. I loved her. And I called my mama and I said, Mama, I got right with God. I got saved. The Lord changed my life.
Amen.
I want to tell you about it. I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. And God saved me by the grace of God.
Amen. That's good,
preacher. Amen. I praise His name. He'll do that for you. You know anything about the chastening of the Lord? So I want to close by saying this. We'll see what the Lord has. I'll just pick up with this again in the morning. Amen. Here's my series week. Amen. Hallelujah. The reasoning that He chastens us. The reason He chastens us. The recipients of His chastening. The reason whom the Lord loveth.
He chasteneth. Brother Harvey, I don't know. I could go ahead and tell you. I ain't going to say I don't know. That'd be a lie. I know there's been some times I've been embarrassed. There's been times my children have embarrassed me. Or I felt pressure. You get in the ministry, you feel pressure.
Yeah.
You don't get kids. Mm-hmm. So I know there's been times I didn't discipline my kids in the right way. I know there's been times.
Yeah.
But there's never been a time that God has ever disciplined one of his children before the wrong way.
Right.
There's never been one time before that he ever corrected you that you could ever say, I didn't deserve that. And I didn't deserve the amount of chastening I got, or the scourging, or the reproof. And we might deal with some of that in the morning. Amen. I believe there's three different, if you want to say, tears, according to the scriptures, of chastening. Reproof, chastening, and scourging. And I didn't deserve that. Because whom the Lord loveth,
yeah,
he chasteneth. Now my mom, and this is not trying to be a tearjerker, but my mom's went on to heaven now. And fortunately, I've got some good memories. Lots of good memories of my mom. But she didn't die in a good frame of mind. And my dad, in many ways, unfortunately, a lot of things unfortunately died about him a little over three years ago. And my dad's not in a good frame of mind. But I can say one thing about my parents. They loved me.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the correction they did to me is why it didn't make me bitter. Because I deserve probably every bit of it this evening. And more. All the things I thought by in secret about was unbelievable. And I deserve every bit of it. But there wasn't one time that I doubt my mom and dad loved me. They loved me. I'll leave Dad there at home. We can't have conversations anymore because a lot of stuff that Dad says, it don't really make sense anymore. It just trails off. But I'm not going to go, unfortunately. I didn't want him to put him in a place like that, but it's really taken out of my hands. And I'm not apologizing, I'm just saying. But I'm not going to forsake him. And it don't matter how it all went down south, Brother Joe, in the end. I'm going to go see my daddy because that's my daddy and I love him.
Yes. Yes.
And I bury his head. My dad don't groom himself no more. A lot of things are gone, faculties. And so I bury his head and take the clippers and I bury his head. And the other day when I cleaned him up, found him in the bed, and he needed some attention. So I just told the nurses, I said, my dad needs a bath. And like I'd done for several years, I said, I'm going in there. I need to go in the shower room. I need to clean my dad up. And when I set him down, he ate his dinner. I kissed him on the side of the head there. And I said, Dad, I love you. And I don't know how much that registers with my dad anymore. Because he don't even know usually who I am. But I've got a heavenly Father that loves me and chastens me and deals with me when I do wrong. And if you're saved by the grace of God, surely you can identify with the scriptures about that. And if you can't, you've got serious problems. And I'll tell you what your problem is. I'll go ahead and diagnose it for you. You're not born again. You can't identify with God's chastening and correction.
Amen.
You're not saved. You say, well, you're judging. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And you're not saved. Father, use the message tonight. Thank you for the good liberty. Lord, I felt like I was trying to wade through cornmeal the other day preaching, and Lord, I don't look for anybody else to be at fault. I just laid it at my own doorstep. I said, Lord, I'm not spending no time with you like I should. I'm just going through a routine. But Lord, I sure thank you, Lord, you helped us tonight to preach the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you use this preaching, that you would get glory unto yourself. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Possibility somebody needs to get to this altar tonight.